Hi, I'm Thomas Mullenix with Revision Management Consulting. Today, I'm with Hal Guerin and Tom Harris, two experts in the internal audit landscape, who join me to discuss challenges internal audit departments are facing when dealing with remote working environments. This is my first long-form video, so please pay more attention to the content than to my editing skills. Enjoy, and please add to the discussion by commenting in the post on LinkedIn. Thanks. So this is the first opportunity for us to get together and discuss internal audit, especially with the challenges that COVID has presented and some of the issues that we face. So first we have Hal Guerin with me. Hal, give us a 5-second overview of who you are and your background.
I don't know if I can do it in 5 seconds, Thomas, but thanks for having us on today in this conversation. So my career has pretty much been predominantly focused in internal audit. I've been the chief audit executive of two organizations, both in the financial services space. Spent a number of years as one of the executives at the Institute of Internal Auditors on staff with the association, and have been doing some independent consulting over the last few years.
Awesome. And also with us is Tom Harris. Tom, give us your 5 to 10 second.
My name is Tom Harris. I'm the head of audit, VP of internal audit for National Cinemedia. And we're a media advertising company, so we are pumping ads into theaters. So you can imagine the impact we've had over the past year, and it's really turned our business upside down. So this topic today is pretty near and dear to me.
All right. Tom, give us an idea. Are you working in an office right now, or are you 100% remote? How is your company handling it right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's changed over the last 9 months, 10, 11 months, or however long it's been. When theater shut down in mid-March, we shut all of our offices. We've got about a half a dozen offices. New York and Denver are the largest, and then we've also got a couple of other smaller offices. We shut them all down. And then in the August timeframe, we started to explore opening them up. Of course, New York, we couldn't. And Southern California, we couldn't as well. There was no interest with employees and little capability in the Chicago and Minneapolis offices. We actually got up and running, and it's been open since then. We've put some protocols in place. We actually did an internal audit, an operational audit of those protocols. We looked at CDC, state and county regulations, and see if they were being applied, and they were a little subjective in their application, but you know, close enough. One-way offices or one-way hallways and hand checking in and all of that sort of thing.
And so mostly remote. You've got a few volunteers coming in, but by and large, it's a very separated group. People are not interacting face to face very often right now. I know you talk with a lot of different people in the internal audit world. How does it feel right now? What kind of challenges are internal audit departments, you know, like Tom's facing with this remote atmosphere?
Yeah, I think what we're finding is that internal audit functions and chief audit executives have figured out how to get the work done, whatever the work is defined as. Executing the audit plan, SOX work, advisory projects, you know, they've climbed the learning curve on the technology and they figured out how to execute the work. And I consider that, and what people are telling me is that they, in essence, have figured out how to be efficient.
Yeah.
We can get our meetings done, we can document the work, we can complete the work papers, we can get the work paper reviews done, we can have exit conferences, we can get the reports out the door. What I'm hearing, and it's pretty clear to me, is that the more the remote work environment is imposed, not that it's something that people don't do from time to time, everybody has worked from home and worked remotely for years. But as it's imposed on people for an extended period of time, internal audit functions are feeling less and less effective.
So Tom, I know, you know, right now you're working, you know, completely remote, and being in the state of Colorado, You know, the state itself leans a little bit more blue politically. And I know I've been to Colorado actually multiple times over the last 13 months, believe it or not. And you really have a mix, the way I feel like. You've got quite a few that are more on the liberal side that prefer that remote atmosphere. They would rather be up in the mountains doing the work from there, which I can see some of the benefit from. I enjoy working from the beach when I can down here. But then you also have some that are more on the traditional value side, prefer to be in the office, you know, 5 days a week, 9 to 5 or whatever they deal. And, you know, some have tried to do a hybrid. Some have been completely remote. Do you see any opportunities to start bringing some people more into the office to have either a hybrid or something like that? So that way you can have a little more face-to-face.
Well, you know, I don't really see it as a blue-red thing. It's got a lot to do with personal situations, right? We've got, got folks who have to homeschool their kids and have had to homeschool their kids. And so, you know, unfortunately, you just can't get into the office in that environment. It's certainly made for some humorous Teams meetings, that's for sure. and I think that's going to continue. I think that what we're seeing, and this isn't just Denver, it's discussions that I've had with a lot of folks across the country, is it really depends on people's personal situations and what they need to do to support their families. And, you know, certainly there's preference with some folks. You know, I've spoken with people who share apartments back east, and, you know, they didn't have the option of leaving. They all had to hunker down. But then you've got, you know, 2-3 people sharing an apartment and the same internet connection and the same space effectively. So you can't really have conversations. You can't really talk about things that you would normally talk about in the office. That's an impact, right? And going forward, I just don't see much changing from mostly working at home until the vaccine is out and until there's some immunity, a significant amount either through vaccination or through people getting sick or whatever it is. There's just that's just the reality of it. And then people need to be comfortable going out, whether that's to the movies, go to the movies, or whether that's to restaurants or whatever. And then there's got to be those situations where people want to go back to the office. I think it would be a mistake for an organization to require it to be mandatory back in the office anytime soon. And then the hybrid office situation, I think, becomes a lot more prevalent.
Yeah. I know here in Texas, a lot of offices have reopened. Some of them do voluntary. Some, just like Tom was saying, you'll have half the group come in, half the people say, no, they're not going to be coming in. What are you seeing there in Florida? Does it seem like more offices are opening or people are still kind of staying that remote working? What are you seeing in that area?
I think Florida, you know, is certainly one of the states that has been off and on a hot spot. Yeah. And so for the most part, it has been one where once people were, like much of the country, sent home to work remotely, in March of 2020, they pretty much have stayed in that environment throughout. And as organizations, human resources functions, executives, legal counsel have all been wrestling with what does a return to work look like? Because it's not just you're wrestling with not only what people might prefer versus what the business needs and requires, and redefining what the business really needs and requires to some of the things that Tom was talking about. You find out what you thought you needed in terms of physical presence may not necessarily be. But what are we going to start to require of people? Can we make them get the vaccine? Well, probably not. Yeah. There's some interesting implications to all that. And, you know, well, what if employees go and say, well, I'd be happy to physically come back to work, but unless I know all the people around me have been vaccinated, you can't make me come in.
Sure.
We could talk about it a long time. There's a whole cascading series of things that have to get worked through as an organization. And those conversations are happening, even though the decision points are not there for a lot of people to call people back to work or not. What does it look like? And leaving decisions up to departments, divisions, units within an organization is going to be fraught with a whole lot of issues without company specific policies and clarity and support from legal compliance, and how it fits with the organization's culture and where the culture is going to need to potentially morph to support the mission and vision of the organization.
You know, that's a good point.
How those decisions fit with that.
Yep.
Organizations have got some very serious things to work through, and the only guarantee is that every employee won't like what the answer is.
So you
There'll
know
be
that,
some, but yep. You can be certain that whatever you decide, there will be a whole group of people who will not be happy with what that decision is.
Absolutely.
And then organizations have what is the state of the job market, and what risk do we have with people if the job market comes back and it's strong, with people leaving because they don't like the decisions that are being made.
I think ultimately the market is going to dictate what businesses decide, because if some businesses are being very restrictive as far as you must have vaccines or, you know, certain guidelines, that way, if nobody wants to work for that company, it's going to force the company to change their approach. But vice versa, if people will only work for a company that requires the vaccines, or, you know, I've seen discussions online of, you know, do you go back to sporting events, and whether or not a sporting event should require evidence of a vaccine before you can get into the venue. So I've seen where, and I really think that the market is going to dictate how some of those are approached. But Hal, let me follow up with this one then for you. How is that going to affect the tone at the top and the internal control environment for these companies if everybody is having to be, not only are they not together, they're not working, they're not seeing each other on a daily basis, but you also have this conflicting point of view of who should be in the office, who should not be in the office, and that dynamic. How is that going to impact the, you know, internal control environment and just the general tone at the top of a company? And how do we address that? How do we fix it?
I think it's unique. There's no answer that's going to fit every company. It's unique to the organization. And, you know, they are it's not specific to the internal control environment. It's just everything the organization does. You know, the call to work from home in most organizations was as close to a flick of the light switch decision.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to have to do. We'll deal with it. The return to work decision is not going to be a flick of the light switch. It's predictable. It's just not clear when. And so it permeates everything the organization is about. And so executive teams who aren't actively having these conversations now should not be putting it off. Because it affects culture, it affects morale, it affects people's attention to the work. It isn't just how do you get the work done? Because if people's head is not in the game because they're not happy, because we haven't thought it all the way through. What employees really are gonna want at the end of the day is whether they like the decisions or not. They have to have the confidence that the executive team has thought through what they're asking employees to do. The logic, the rationale is clear, and it's demonstrated how it supports the mission and the vision of the organization. This is what we need our employees to do in these departments, in these divisions, and this is why. Any questions? You know, and people, again, may not like it, but what you cannot risk is loss of faith and confidence of the employee base in the executive team.
Right.
Because that's a recipe for disaster for the organization when you're trying to keep the organization moving forward.
Well, there's going to be a certain percentage of people that are going to lose confidence. This whole pandemic has been so divisive, you know, and kind of going back to your red versus blue thing, it's not just so much along political lines as it is along ideology. You know, there's folks that thought it was just a common flu, only a worse version of it. And you know, we're finding out that the coronavirus is morphing and that it's kind of getting there. And there's folks that thought it was the worst thing in the world and would go to all kinds of lengths to avoid contact or to increase their risk. I'm not saying either of them are wrong. In fact, I'd say they're both right. And I think that you hit on something. Talent disruption. I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of job market activity this year. And part of that's going to be driven from not liking the decisions. Part of it's going to be driven from market pressures. Part of it's going to be driven from, other kinds of changes, right? Somebody just vehemently disagrees with the decision of senior management, so they're going to go get another job. And the people who work with that person really like them, so they're going to go find another job. So I see a lot of disruption occurring in the talent market, not just in 21, but I think this is going to stretch into 22 and 23. I would imagine there's going to be folks that just have a poor taste in their mouth because of the way things have shaken out. And because of a variety of reasons, that market is going to continue to be volatile for probably the next 18 to 24 months. And I, going off on a little bit of a tangent here, one of the things that I noticed in the movie industry is a bit of a thing called the Stockdale paradox. Admiral Stockdale was a POW, a senior ranking POW, and he was a POW for like 9 years or something ridiculous. And some of the worst conditions you could possibly imagine. He survived as a ranking member. He took the punishment for all of the people that did stuff wrong, that were prisoners, took the beatings and everything. When he got out, he was asked, when new prisoners came in, could you tell which one survived? And he goes, oh yeah, optimists, right? It's the optimists. And I'll relate this to the movie industry. Things shut down in mid-March. Oh, well, theaters will be open on Memorial Day, right? We're going to keep the blockbuster schedule. We're going to keep the tent poles. Memorial Day came and went. Nope. July 4th, another big movie weekend came and went. Labor Day weekend, some effort over Tenet and a couple of other movies that came out. People didn't want to go back to the movies. Well, what about November? And how about Christmas? And what about the New Year? So there's been this pattern of looking ahead 6-8 weeks and thinking we'll be out then. The reality is we won't be out probably for another year. When you look at how long it's taken the vaccination to roll out, what the behaviors have changed, and I'm not just talking about the movie industry, I'm talking about collectively, how are we going to get out of this pandemic? It's going to be we still have a long way to go. If I had to imagine, I'd say we're halfway through it. It's unfortunate, but we're starting to lose some discipline as a people, right? We still can't get people to wear masks. I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but it's not that hard, right? We don't even talk about hand washing anymore. The disciplines around helping control this thing are being thrown out. My wife and I are going to go to a small group tonight, right? We've had people infected by COVID over the last 6 or 8 months. We've taken precautions. We need that social interaction. We're social people, right? So we're going to do that tonight. And we've made some decisions around it as a group We've talked about what we need to do and how to protect ourselves. We're not going to do it very often. I didn't go last week, but I'm going this week. Individual decisions around it. So when we look at what the impacts for this is, it's pretty significant, and it's going to be long-term. Not just certain industries, but the markets, the employment markets, companies are going to be going out of business over the next 12 months. And I think we need to realize that this is the new normal, right? It's not like, you know, to your point, we're not going to flip a switch and all of a sudden it's okay. It's going to be a real long, slow slog. We're almost a year into it. We probably got another year to go. And we need to be realistic about it, about our situation. Can't optimistic is great, but we can't be so optimistic that we don't realize what's ahead of us.
So I thank you both for your time. I think this has been a great conversation. I think there's a lot of challenges out there. I think we need to be purposeful and mindful with really our relationships there at the office. Tom, just like you said, going to a small group tonight, you're planning ahead, right? You're thinking about how you're going to approach it. And I think both in person, in the office, we need to have plans. We need to know how to approach it. But also, you know, keeping in touch with other departments through Zoom, go meetings, anything like that, to be able to really keep the tone at the top together. Leadership, you know, CEO, CFO, Vice President of Internal Audit, even the Chairman of the Board, everybody should be visible to the company right now, I think, and really driving home the importance of we're a team, we're, you know, everybody's in this together. It's not like it's just one state or one department or one industry. Everybody's is affected by this. And at the end of the day, we're either together, really trying to help keep the company moving forward, adding value to our customers or our clients, or we're going to fall apart and it's just not going to be a pretty picture. Some companies are already seeing that, and I think it's going to get worse. You know, Tom, I agree with you. I think, you know, we're not done with this. We're nowhere near being done with this. And the companies that are barely hanging on, if they don't really come together to fight this, they're not going to last. It's just not possible. So we're getting a little bit long on time. So Hal, give a 30-second, wrap up of any other ideas or thoughts that you've got before we leave.
Yeah, I think if we bring it back to internal audit and internal audit functions, I think that a CAE needs to look at their staff and really understand as best as they can where the individual and collective heads of their employees, their staff, really. The way I would characterize it is, does for each individual, as they've been working from home now for the better part of 10 months, have they approached their job as a job? Tell me what I need to do, I'll get that done. Or have they approached it as a career? Have they approached it as a transactional thing? I get what I get done and the company pays me. Or are they viewing the organization as a place they want to grow and thrive in and be promotable within that organization? The more people are viewing as a transactional job, I do work and I get paid, is going to be very different when you call them all back to work or you ask something different of them, whatever the future state is, than those who are, I don't want to use the word loyal, but, believe in the organization's mission. They believe in the organization's vision and they want to come back to work for that organization.
I like it. I agree. Tom, closing thoughts?
I think we hit on a few interesting themes here. And when it comes to working from home, I like what Hal said about, is it transactional or is it relational? Yeah. And the relational piece is, is so challenging to maintain when you can't have those relationships, right? Zoom, this makes it transactional. How do you overcome that? And there's a lot of challenges with that. So I think ultimately it's a paradigm shift in how internal audit is viewed and how we view the business. And there's gonna be additional solutions, additional ways to solve these kinds of problems. So I'm excited to see what's coming next. I know it's a long slog, but there's still gonna be things that can be done over this next year or two to reestablish audit where it's been lost, to appreciate the departments that have actually expanded. And really a lot of the impacts for that kind of comes from the tone at the top, and it comes from external influences, right? If your company sees a 10% reduction in revenue, yeah, you don't get the kind of stressors you see when your company sees a 95% reduction in revenue. And a lot of those are external, you can't do anything about. So I think we're still learning. We're still finding out, right? This is like a huge science project, I think.
Thanks for watching the video. I hope you really enjoyed it. I hope you got some value out of it. Special thanks to Tom and Hal both for joining me for that time. I think we had a lot of fun having the conversation. Please make sure you follow all of us on LinkedIn and make some comments in the post, so that way we can have some good value-added discussion that hopefully can help everyone out with the remote working challenges that internal audit departments face. Thanks. Have a great day.